friends in Christ. Many years ago, a very rich man lived in the land of Palestine. He was rich beyond any human normal expectation. Gold and silver, jewels, trinkets, goblets in abundance, all of rich value. One day he heard there was an invading army headed his direction, and panic filled his mind and heart as he thought of all the good things he had accumulated during his lifetime. What would he do with them? How would he keep them safe for future years? And at last, as the army drew nearer and nearer where he lived, he decided he would put them in a strong box and bury them in a field. And he did this just in time, because soon the army overtook the city, overthrew the city, came into his own villa, took him prisoner, and realizing he was a rich man and there must be riches around, tortured him, but he would not give them the secret of his wealth's hiding place. And at last he died. Years later, a poor man was cultivating that field. He had rented it from another rich man. And as he was going back and forth through the field, trying to eke out an existence that would barely pay for his groceries and his other bills and expenses of raising a family, his plow struck something hard, metallic. And he dug, and there he found this box that had been buried many years earlier. And with trembling hands, he opened the box and found there all those gold and silver coins and jewels and goblets and trinkets and measure of wealth. He could hardly believe his eyes. But when his brain caught up with his eyesight, he quickly put the lid on the box again, sank it back into the hole, covered it over with dirt, raked over the top as though nothing had ever been touched, and hurried into town. There he hawked all of his possessions, borrowed as much money as he could from his friends and the friendly bank on the corner, and then went to the rich man and bargained to buy that field. And at last they agreed upon a price, and he bought the field, and the treasure was his. And now suddenly he was the richest man in the land. That's the way the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. This could be the story also of Martin Luther. And it could well be our story, too. Today on Reformation Day, you think of Martin Luther, born in a humble, pious, God-fearing German household or family, raised in the strict authoritarian discipline of the day, made to feel that everything, every move he made was wrong, and he had to atone for everything before God and man in order to earn forgiveness of sins. And it seemed as though the harder he tried, the more he failed and the farther he fell behind. And at last, in desperation, he entered a monastery in order to become a monk, a holy man, a preacher, and decided there perhaps he will be able to do enough good deeds in order to earn God's favor. But again, like the saying goes, the hurrier he went, the behinder he got. The more he worked, the more he fasted, the more he prayed, the more he beat himself. The more he confessed his sins, the more he did all these things that were supposed to be done by men of God in those days, the worse he felt about himself, and the farther he seemed to be estranged from God. His studies during those years led him into the Holy Scriptures, and there, by God's grace, he found this great treasure. And having found it, he realized, there is the treasure, there is the kingdom of God in the gospel which is proclaimed so sweetly and so comfortingly and so certainly in the Holy Scriptures. He found that blessed assurance in the book of Romans and the Corinthians letters and elsewhere in the New Testament. And the promise came good, came true. If a man continues in my word, then he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make him free. And he found that blessed good news, the just shall live by faith. And here was heaven's gates opened wide to him at last. The forgiveness of sins he had always been wanting, the peace with God, the joy and comfort in his own heart that things were right between him and God, and that it was not what he, Martin Luther, did, but rather it was what Jesus Christ had done on the cross many years ago that brought him salvation. How precious that gospel is. Many do not regard that gospel and the kingdom of God and Jesus Christ and the salvation Christ won as very precious at all. Given their choice between two telephone calls, which do you think you might prefer? A telephone call from the state of Illinois saying that you had won their latest and their largest lottery. Or a telephone call from Reader's Digest saying, you have won the latest sweepstakes, you are number one. Or a telephone call from a friendly Christian down the street, you're a winner. Jesus Christ has died for you, and through Christ, you have all the riches of eternal life. And many, of course, would rather get the former call than the latter. But what about us? Isn't it true that many people, even within the pale of Christendom, people who go to services regularly as we do, still somehow think this treasure of God is something less than it really is, and regard it as something maybe which will be very handy when we die, or if we get into trouble, or if we have some specific problem, or if a loved one is lost, taken from our side, yes, then it's comforting, then it's helpful, but not really practical on an everyday basis. And yet Jesus said that if we seek the kingdom of God first, all these other things will be added unto us. How important is it? How rich is that treasure? Luther thought it was worth more than his own life. When he posted the 95 Theses on the church door at Wittenberg, he was not at all mistaken about the consequences of that action. But from that day on, his life was constantly in jeopardy. And yet day after day, he confessed his faith and went out and preached and proclaimed boldly the kingdom of God, the treasures of heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Was he the angel of whom John in the book of Revelation spoke when he wrote those words in Revelation chapter 14? I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel who preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people. Yes, he may have been. But we too are heirs of this precious gospel of Jesus Christ. And if this was Luther's responsibility and task in his day, to be the angel, the messenger of God, and to proclaim the sweet gospel to the people of his generation, then, my dear Christian friends, it belongs to us today. Today we are the angel, we are the messenger of Jesus Christ to proclaim his saving name, his grace, his goodness, his salvation to the very ends of the earth. May God embolden us for our task and fill us first with a deep appreciation, even a holy understanding of the great treasure that is ours in Christ. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.